there are things within us that are really difficult to see. And there are also things within us that are entirely impossible to see. One of the things within you that's really difficult, it's not impossible, but it's difficult to see, is your own pride. It's really difficult to see your own pride. One of the things when it's within you that's impossible to see is humility. Now these things, pride and humility, you may not be able to see them, but others, when they encounter you, they usually can. That the pride within you, when others encounter it, it can be like a stench that you've grown so accustomed to that you hardly notice it at all. But others, when they encounter you, they can see it real clear. And then even humility, whereas you can never see it truly when it's in you, because you see how that works. Once you see, oh, look how humble I am, yeah, it kind of defeats itself. And so God, in his graciousness, keeps us from ever seeing humility within us. Others, though, can see humility in you. And it's much more like a sweet fragrance. But these two things, pride and humility, when one increases, the other must decrease. The two are always together in terms of when one is increasing, the other is decreasing. But of these two, it's pride, of all the things, of all the sins, of all the vices, the one that keeps us the absolute furthest from God of any possible sin is pride. Pride is at the root of all sin, and it's the one that keeps us furthest from God. Whereas humility is the one virtue where when that takes root in a person's heart and there's humility in the soul, it's the virtue that allows God to come closest to oneself. I want to give you just a very practical word of what Jesus has given us, and I think it's one of the very best ways to kill pride in the soul and to grow in humility. And the best way that I think Jesus has given us to do that above everything else is adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. It's adoring Jesus in the Eucharist. The Eucharist itself, it's a sacrament of humility. God, who created all, became not just one with us in our flesh, but he becomes something as lowly as present in a piece of bread. That something we consume and eat, God's very presence overtakes that. And yet to our senses, all we see is a piece of bread. It's the sacrament of humility. You know, the Carmelites, they're a religious order in the church. Some of the great saints in the history of the church are Carmelites. St. John of the Cross, St. Teresa of Avila. And they speak of these three stages in the spiritual life. They speak of the purgative stage in which we're being purified. It's a painful purification of the soul. The illuminative stage in which we become more and more filled with the light of God. And then the unitive stage of this deep, intimate union with God. And the Carmelites, they trace themselves back to, and they trace these three stages to the prophet Elijah, who we hear about. But these three stages, in a way in which I don't want to stretch it too much, because those three stages are the entirety of one's life. And those who reach the unitive stage are only the great saints, which we're called to be, which we're created for. But there is a way in which we experience a small sample of those three stages of the spiritual life almost every time you go to adoration. That to go before Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, there's a reason it kills our pride. Because there's nothing you can do that can just make this experience and the reality of closeness with God happen. You can't just go to adoration and be like, all right, now I want to enter into God's light. Oh, peace. No. The experience of going to adoration is almost one of a struggle at first. Right? Serious? I'm the only one? It's a struggle. There's a purgation that's happening within us of all the distractions, of all the other things, that there's a struggle. And the temptation in the midst of that is to want to leave him. The temptation in the midst of that is, okay, I went to adoration. You know what? It was just distraction and struggle the whole time. And we leave. And we don't really come back. Jesus tells us that no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And there's nothing you can do on your own human power to experience real union with God and even his light within you. Everything of that is a grace that you can only receive. But in that first stage of going to him, there's that struggle. I've had the grace in my life. I've never doubted or not believed in the real presence, that Jesus is actually in the Eucharist. But you know what I have struggled with a lot more? Believing that when I come before him and pray before him in the Eucharist, that he actually can fill me, like he speaks of, with his eternal life. It's one thing to believe, okay, Jesus is truly here. Yes, I believe that. It's another thing to believe that, yes, and if you come and you adore him and you just sit before him and let him work on you, he's going to fill you with his life. And it's going to probably be in a lot of ways you're not going to see or notice. Do you believe in that? Because knowing that struggle, that particular struggle, I can have a lot more sympathy for those who start murmuring against Jesus here and who eventually leave him because they're frustrated and it doesn't make sense and they're just not, it's not there. But in a couple weeks, you're going to hear Jesus ask the disciples who remain, are you going to leave me as well? Peter's response, Lord, where would we go? You have the words of eternal life. To not in frustration leave, but to remain with him. To remain with him. And that takes remaining with him and allowing our pride to be crumbled. That I'm sitting here and everything else I can do in life, and I'm really great at this and this, but man, sitting in prayer and adoration, I just feel helpless. Well, you are kind of helpless. All you can do is put yourself there before his real presence. And ultimately, it's primarily he who works within you. And to believe, not just that he's present, but that he wants to do that and that he will do that. That's a different sort of belief. It's a deeper one. That when you sit before him and you remain faithful, coming again and again to him, those things which are all rooted in pride, some of the things which Paul speaks of, that if I have bitterness in my heart, fury, anger, I'm prone to shouting, malice, that those things which are not of God, they can't survive when again and again I bring myself before his real presence. Those things rooted in pride will slowly crumble. And God, what he replaces them with, is something that you can't see. But it's real and true humility. It's It's real and true humility. And that's what allows that union with him. A real closeness with God and everything that flows from that. There was a handful of people from our parish who were able to go last month to the National Eucharistic Conference in Indianapolis. And I asked one of the ladies who went what the most powerful moment at the conference was, or what was the most powerful thing for her. And she said, without a doubt, every evening when they would bring the Blessed Sacrament out for adoration, you had 60,000 people in this stadium fall to their knees, and she said you could hear a pin drop. Which, think about that from the outside world. 60,000 people falling to their knees before what to the world looks like just a piece of bread. The truth and humility that it takes to come before the Lord and to place oneself at his mercy of him doing whatever he wants and working within you in that. But the love that God instills in our heart in adoration is one that isn't superficial, and it's not shallow. And it's not cheap. It's not cheap. Our world's filled with cheap love. But love that costs something is love that's deep and real. And this is the love present in the Blessed Sacrament, in Jesus there, and in his love for you. And it's one in which the way that he wants to enter into your heart is the pathway of humility. And the way of that path, I think the best that Jesus has given us is remaining with him in adoration and letting him work upon your heart there. I want to close with a prayer that's prayed at the end of every adoration. It's in the Pew Missal, but I think maybe just if you close your eyes and ask God for his grace to enter into your heart. It's the Tantum Ergo, but I'll pray the English translation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Down in adoration falling, lo, the sacred host we hail. Lo, o'er ancient forms departing, newer rites of grace prevail. Faith for all defects supplying, where the feeble senses fail. To the everlasting Father and the Son who reigns on high, with the Holy Spirit proceeding forth from each eternally, be salvation, honor, blessing, might, and endless majesty. Amen.